It's time for the Steve and Kyle podcast with Steve.
Get it sent to you, wrap it, send it yourself. It's up to you.
You don't need to be a Trevor and send an Ivation 36-inch LED digital time bar with time only.
And please don't.
I mean, please know.
This makes me laugh.
We are extremely grateful.
I can't. I
mean, we just laugh at the fact that we screwed it all up.
It's amazing.
Kyle.
Intended use. Okay, this device is used to display the following information. Current time and hour and minute format.
Is that it? Did we insinuate to have Trevor?
No, hold on.
To then buy us the world's biggest clock?
Live on tape from APS 3. Whatever, it's the Steve and Kyle podcast.
The clock debacle.
Yeah, that is, I still feel bad about that. It will be a nice, fun moment to look back on.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm going to hate this episode.
Yeah, this is not going to sound great. We're in a offsite location X. Doesn't sound good. It's maybe a short one.
A lot of work to do.
Yeah. We've been evicted from our previous studio of 4 years.
Did you consider going back to the old corner?
It was not offered up as an option. That corner has been repurposed, rezoned. It's no longer podcast. It's now for family use.
So we would have to go to the zoning committee.
Mm-hmm.
Who
apparently met without us.
Go meet the town. Yeah, usually it's us holding right. meetings and distributing minutes.
Yeah.
And this time you and I were officially left in the dark.
Mm-hmm. So here we are, a couple of seasoned pros at this.
Yeah.
Some more than, like, I've worked in the broadcast field for nearly 2022 will be my official 20th year working in the broadcast field, talking into a microphone. You have had many stints. You've been podcasting for 12 years.
Yeah. So we're coming up on 12 years.
Worked in the radio industry for many years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, here we are, sounding like a couple of schmucks.
Yeah, and there's no
who just put an iPhone down on the table and talk.
We problem solved a little bit before that. Is this the solution, Steve?
We did. Here? Yeah, I think that this sounds pretty good.
Hey, this doesn't sound bad. This almost sounds like we separately recorded because there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to come up for air every couple of minutes, like a whale. And that's how we're going to record this thing.
Okay.
Because we did 29 episodes in a room, not exactly like this, but a room with no podcast accommodations, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is our first foray back into that life.
Yeah.
In 260 some episodes since we had that.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, do I hate it. I hate everything about it.
Yeah. Not great. Not great. The sad thing is, this is the permanent location. Spoiler right. alert.
Yeah. We know how to fix it, though.
We're doing a test run here in APS 4.0. And, I won't really call it a test run because test run would make it seem like we made the decision to do it.
I have our sponsor, our title sponsor, open right now, Amazon Prime. Thank you very much for all the love and donations over the years, Amazon. And I have sound panels pulled up.
Okay.
Because...
Do me a favor.
We're just pulling the trigger.
Just buy them. Buy them right now.
I think we buy like 4 packs of 12 and we just throw them on the wall and see what works.
Is that excessive? I don't know.
Just it's like a rubber room. Yeah. It's like what the movies insinuate mental health institutions
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, they're all white, they're all padded, that's it. You know, they're all cuckoo, woohoo. But that's
couple,
our studio. A
couple straight jackets, too.
Yeah, but that's our studio.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need to figure out a color. Do we want dark? Do we want light? I kind of like the idea of a light. Like a white.
Little offset, yeah.
Yeah, like nice, like pop, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to do something yeah,
I mean,
very
I,
fast.
We have stuff to hang. We have, mm-hmm. but we were going to need sound panels anyway, and this just reinforces the idea.
I got to check and see if I almost scored a good deal on a area rug.
Oh, so this is, well, this isn't the official unveil, the
no,
the pomp and circumstance and the big welcoming committee mm-hmm. is not quite here today, but it's almost like when you open a new local business, Steve.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do a ribbon cutting, but that's not necessarily on the first day of it being open, right? A lot of those places have been open for a week or so, and
mm-hmm.
they finally get one of those really highly paid township commissioners to make time in their day. And,
oh, and they come out with the big scissors.
Yeah, the big fake scissors. And
where can we get them?
Can we get big scissors? Can we do that? And then we
someone's got to make them for, like, who?
Yes.
Someone's got to make them for the ribbon cuttings.
Because I think we do it, and then we just have Annette sit on the couch behind us and clap. After yeah. we each give some work.
She has to take pictures, though. Maybe ask a question or two.
Large scissors for ribbon cutting. Of course, the title sponsor, Amazon Prime, going to be all about that. Well, you know, I say we return them anyway.
So buy them, use them,
yeah.
send them back.
There's a pair for $40 and there's a pair for $20. And let me tell you, I think the upgrade for an extra $20.
Think it's worth it?
I think it's worth it. They just look at the size of the hands.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then I think we throw them back, you know, in that box.
I think we just, look, we got a couple big pieces of cardboard. Kind of trace it, cut them out.
So fake.
Fake big scissors. Yeah.
And then real ribbon. So one of us would have to like rip the ribbon.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe we pre-cut the ribbon, but then put a little tiny piece of tape on there. So even cardboard
yeah.
lightly brushing against it will break it.
So it's like Hulk Hogan's shirts. Back in the day.
Exactly.
That
yeah.
they had to pre-cut. Which,
pre-torn.
Did you ever... Because every kid at some point, like if you find out, hey, this shirt's bad.
Or I know where you're going with this.
I'm getting
yes.
rid of it.
Yeah.
Every kid
yeah.
tried to rip their shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Every. Because that was... I mean, hey, that's really cool.
Right.
And every kid would get to the collar.
And then
they
struggle.
And it would, and so you'd just be sitting there wearing a collar mm-hmm. with a piece of... like a cape. Almost.
Yep.
Because at that point, you don't know. Hey, they cut the collars off of most of those guys' shirts now.
Sure.
Or they pre-cut it past the collar so they can rip it. Because you can't have Hulk Hogan looking like an 8-year-old boy on TV not being able to rip through a collar of his shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you look like a stooge.
Everybody did it. Everybody.
Yeah.
I'll put it on a bold as well. If you were did every 8-year-old boy rip their shirt like Hulk Hogan?
If you say no, you're lying. So, yeah, here we are in what will... It's not deemed APS 4.0 quite yet.
No.
It has the...
is this 3.8 technically until yeah. we can finalize it?
Yeah, it's got the bones, but doesn't quite have the the finishing touches just yet. But, boy, there's been a lot of work over the last 24 hours to get this to where it is.
Yeah, I got
to get the what will be in here in the future to where it is.
I got an out of context text message last night that included a few curse words and some general frustration
uh-huh.
about concrete countertops in general.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I still don't have like a firm answer because I said like, how so to your question or to your comment.
And then I think I ghosted you.
Yeah, it was later.
It went dark.
I figure you're busy, you're doing something, whatever. And that's fine. I ask here, which is better for both of us anyway.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Because I saw it. You showed it to me. Looks like I guess I would anticipate. Now, granted, you and I, you don't have any experience in creating your own concrete countertop.
No, never done it before.
Because I'm thinking, boy, a couple bags of Quikrete.
Build a box. dump some concrete in
it. Got that frame. You slap it on top of the legs.
It's... That is it. That is what you do. You build a wooden box, put some caulk in the corners so that way concrete doesn't leak out of it.
And it gives it a nice, nice rounded edge.
Yeah. Mm. Expectations are very low for that rounded edge, by the way. I got very impatient.
I like it. So you're going to have like, if we ever have anybody in here, it's when you're walking around that corner, be careful.
Watch,
it's a little,
watch your arm. Yeah. It's like a razor blade.
A little sharp over there.
I might have to bust out a grinder and kind of knock that edge off a bit.
In here, hopefully. Like, get it on, and then...
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because I... Originally, a friend of mine was going to stop over and help me with it. He ended up not being able to, but the plan was, okay, I'm going to do it up in the garage, so that way any mess is contained outside or in the garage, no big deal. And then at the last minute, I decided, ah, it's only a couple bags of concrete. I'll just mix them up down in the basement. We have, like, the water line from, yeah, like the previous owners had a washer and dryer down here. Ours is upstairs. So I was like, oh, perfect. Ran up, grabbed my hose, plugged it in there, ran the hose down the hallway into the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. This is going to be so contained right in here. Put some water in the bucket, dump some concrete in there. I had bought 3 50-pound bags of concrete, thinking I'll probably use 2.
Right, but you don't want to get to the point where you have 80% of what you need, and then you're thinking, oh, crap, now I need to go get another bag of concrete while that's already setting.
Right.
And then, yeah.
Because once you start, you have to finish it.
Boy, you should have let me know. I don't know if I mentioned to you this summer, I replaced my mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
I did that on my own, no big deal. But the mail, of course, it wasn't without incident, because the mailbox that I bought... I went to the store and I knew everything I needed, because I had helped my dad replace his, or helped him put his in a couple of years ago. You know, you need the mailbox, you need the post, you need some concrete. Boom.
Yep.
I get everything I need. I even get new reflectors, Steve, because I'm trying to be grown up and I need to make sure those end of the driveway warriors
absolutely
know what they're looking for when they're out there delivering in the dark.
Yeah.
Which is quite often.
Get your job done on time. You won't have to do it in the dark.
And I brought it home and I took everything out of the box. I see this is a fancy newfangled mailbox post that you don't need. It doesn't have the pointed end.
Mm.
It's just a flat end and you're supposed with a hole underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to put that on top of a metal stake that you then put in the... So there's no concrete needed.
Yeah.
So in hindsight, I probably should have reminded you I have a bag of quickcrete.
It's not a problem. Sorry, because
post setting concrete.
No, yeah, see, for this, I needed countertop concrete.
Oh,
which,
so that's different.
Oh, it's different, yes.
Oh, I apologize.
And by different, I mean 5 times as expensive. So it's not like the $4 bag. It's a $20 bag of concrete. So I bought 3 50-pound bags of concrete, figuring, because I did the math on the little calculator. How much concrete do I need? .com or something.
Right.
Mixed it all up. I mixed up the first bag. And it takes a little while to get the right consistency. So I'm adding water, adding concrete, adding water, adding concrete, adding water, adding concrete. Well, at this point, I have nearly a full 5-gallon bucket, which weighs about 1 million pounds. And I pick the bucket up, nearly break my back.
Yeah.
Dump it onto the table. All right. Mashing it all around and kind of smoothing it out. I'm like, all right, I think that first bucket, I think the mix was a little bit thick.
Probably the problem, right?
So not a problem. Second one, I just added a little bit more water, mixed it up, dumped it in there. Way too soupy. I mean, like, way too soupy. I'm like, all right, now, so what I'll do is I'll
counterbalance, right?
Counterbalance, and then dump it right on top of that.
Of course, Steve.
And kind of mix it all up.
Of course.
So I'm mixing, I'm dumping, I'm smoothing, and trying to shake the form a little bit so you can like get the air bubbles out. And at one point I notice, oh boy, I'm through a bag and a half of concrete already, and I can still see the bottom of the form in certain spots. This is bad. This is real bad. Okay, no problem, though. I'll just persevere. Keep going. mixing up more. And then at one point, I'm using like a drill that has the big mixer on, like a big paddle on the bottom to mix this concrete up. Kind of like, you know, if you're baking a cake and you're using your hand mixer, it's got like the little thing on the bottom of
it.
And what is the one thing that you never do when you're using one of those mixers?
Pull it out while it's going.
Yeah. Did that. Concrete everywhere.
But it's okay because it doesn't set. Or, you know, it's almost like...
it's not like it's concrete. Oh, wait.
Yeah. No, that's just like, again, like pancake batter or something. Yeah. You just wipe it off later.
Wipe it right off.
Go get a cloth.
Yeah. Fast forward about 7 hours later. It was great trying to get dried concrete out of my hair last night in the shower. So at one point, like I said, I bought 3 bags. I am 2¾ bags in, and there is no chance that that last quarter of a bag is going to finish this form. So I smoothed out the concrete as best as I could, got that first layer in there everywhere. And then I had to go out to buy 2 more bags of concrete. But the store that's super close to me has concrete, but not countertop concrete.
Okay.
The 2 stores that are a 15-minute ride from here both have concrete, not countertop concrete. The store that is 25 minutes away, though, where I bought the initial 3 bags.
That has everything?
They have 950 bags of it in stock.
So when did you buy those first 3 bags? Was it the same day?
Yeah, I bought them earlier in the week.
Did you? Oh, okay. Because in my mind, you had a moment where you're thinking, I can't go back there. They're going to see me with concrete in my hair. Going to the concrete section. Buying concrete and like, going,
my pants are covered in it.
We know what that idiot did.
No. So I went back there, bought 2 more bags, raced back because I had poured the remainder of the concrete that I had in the 1 bag into the bucket, put water in it, mixed it up, but I mixed it way too soupy. Well, I couldn't pour it in the form. So I was like, I guess I just have to leave this bucket of concrete here. Hope it doesn't cure in the next hour and then come back, add more concrete to it. So I did that, came back. Luckily, it hadn't cured yet. I was able to add more of the mix to it, mix it up. But this job that I thought would take me, I thought start to finish 2 hours. I worked on it for about 6, maybe 7 hours yesterday.
Sure.
Now, again, I used almost 5 bags of concrete. Oh, bags of concrete off the shelf weigh 50 pounds each. That's before you add water.
Which I hear is light.
I'm estimating that the table, just the concrete slab, weighs 300 to 350 pounds.
Oh, for God's sake, Steve.
I don't know how we're going to move it.
That's the thing. It's not in here.
No, it's... I mean, granted, it's only 25 feet away, but it's through three doorways down a hallway.
And it's too wide to fit through those doors.
Yeah.
Which means we have to carry it upright. Right. I'll say this. There's no way it's you and I.
I mean, it's you and I.
Right, plus.
Plus.
At least one other.
I don't even think that that's possible.
I think because, that's...
See, the problem is we have to carry it upright.
Right, so there's two spots.
Yeah.
That's it.
Because the person in the middle, they can't...
You're
really,
worthless.
Yeah.
You're worthless. I'm looking at you, middle pallbearers. You're worthless. And if you end up in the middle...
Put that on the pole.
In a pallbearer situation, just know the deceased didn't like you.
I think that's important. If you're not one of the corner anchors...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Say, are the middle anchors worthless in a pallbearer situation? Put that on the pole.
Because
please.
I almost feel like now that I say that out loud, I feel like I should put that in my will. Just so whoever is a pallbearer knows... I didn't like them.
So
you're a middle. You're a middle. That's where you belong.
So there's a pallbearer hierarchy. You got
front
left. No, so driver side.
Yes.
Obviously, that's going to be like the person most important in your life. Mm-hmm. Passenger, All right. Maybe a friend, but not that good of a friend. Right. If you're backseat pallbearers, forget it.
I'd rather be backseat than middle.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right? So, again, I think you're right. I think it's driver's side front, passenger side front, driver's side rear.
Yeah.
Passenger side rear. Middle left. Yeah.
No. Middle right would be...
You think middle right?
No. Middle left and then middle right. Because the driver's always going to protect their
right.
side first.
Right.
So those are the people they value more.
If you're a middle right pallbearer, I think you turn it down.
Now,
I think you write a handwritten note and you say, you know, apologies to Ron. You know, I know we were friends since college, but this is a shame I cannot bear.
God forbid you're the deceased is like 7'4" and there's enough room for four on each side.
I hate to make this equivalence, but
no, you don't.
I'm going to do it. I think you're a dirtbag if you have more than six pallbearers.
So it's like the wedding party where there's 11 on each side.
I say that because narrow it down. You're dead. Who cares if some feelings are hurt?
Right.
Because you're gone. What are they going to do? Go kick more dirt on top of your grave?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Are they going to go rattle your ashes in your canister a little more than normal? Be a man. Cut it down to six. And if you have any respect for numbers 5 and 6, you cut it down to 4. Because what you're doing to numbers 5 and 6 in your pallbearer situation, you're disrespecting them.
Yeah. No, look, I'm on board.
Remind them, hey, you were a friend. You weren't a top four.
Not that good.
You weren't a top four. Yeah. And that's okay. That's all okay. Right.
Look, most of us live in the, you know, probably 5 to 12 range.
Right, and that's totally fine.
I'd be happy with being someone's fifth best friend.
Right, because one, I don't run the responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, and two, you know that if you have to get up there and put on your glum face and be a number 5 and number 6, you're the laughing stock of the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And you never want to be the laughing stock of the funeral.
No, you want to blend in.
You just want to be another guy.
You don't want to be the guy that walks in jeans.
Oh, my God. Guy walking into a funeral in jeans is guy walking into a wedding in shorts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you want to be the guy that shows up. You're just wearing your black suit. You're sad. You do the things that you do at a funeral where you say, oh, my condolences. Mm-hmm. He was a great man. My condolences. I have so many fond memories. And then out the door. Head to
right.
Denny's.
You make your presence known. That's the key about a funeral. You don't want to linger.
No.
But you need that FaceTime because of it, you know, when the family's remembering later on, like, oh, the service was great, which, by the way, people who say great service about a funeral.
It's a dead person.
You're lying. There's a corpse there.
Right. Is it safe to say that anytime there's a corpse, it's not a great time?
Yeah, and that'll be on the poll as well. Because I think you're dead on. Like, it's not like a baptism.
That's like when people say, oh, they looked great. No, they didn't.
No.
Because they had no movement because there was no life in them.
They're filled up with fluid that purposely, like, doesn't dissolve and keeps their body. Like, no, enough of this already.
We got to make a pact right now. Because assuming that this podcast continues for a little while, chances are, one of us will be attending the other one's funeral at some point, which is a weird thought, but
right.
I hope I'm attending your funeral. I do. No offense.
None taken. And I would assume nonetheless, I mean, I have family history. I have personal history where.
Yeah. You're dead long before me.
The indicators give me over under 6 years.
But still, we digress. If you end up being at my funeral or I end up being at your funeral, we have to make a pact right now that if somebody comes up to my casket and then they turn around, look at my family, look at you and say, you know, he looks good. I want you to kick them so hard in the ribs.
Yeah. I'm assuming at that point I will have some type of walking assistance and I'll use that to hit them.
Mm. I actually want this audio played at my funeral.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Like, you know how sometimes they play like those, you know, a hymn or something?
Yeah.
No.
While we're on the topic of funerals, I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay, good.
Because enough with the obituaries. Enough.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of reading and hearing, whether it's news stories or whatever, and granted, this is going to come off crass, but people, if you're passed, if you've passed away and there's a news story about you, odds are it's either tragic or some type of accident, whatever. Mm-hmm. Enough of the friends and people on there going, he just brought a light into every room he walked in.
Mm, no.
I don't want that at my service.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about that. I mean, right. that will not be in your obituary.
I want you to stand up there and give a real assessment of what things were.
Mm-hmm.
He was a lot of times grumpy.
So it's kind of like a roast.
To a degree, yeah. Okay. But not everybody's okay to do that. Only people I'm deeming.
Okay. Like, so I can roast you at your funeral?
I want someone to give honest assessments of their relationship with me and my life and what they thought of it. And whether that's Katie or you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But no smoke. I don't want any blowing smoke. Tell stories where I made you laugh, whatever, that's fine. But let's not make any false statements about what I brought to the world, which wasn't much.
Kyle was mediocre at best.
You look out into the crowd, there's like 30% of the people going, yeah, they're not wrong.
He's right. He's right. And if they start laughing, I'm going to say, no, don't laugh. This is the truth. This is not one of those funny obituary or funny eulogies that goes viral. This is the truth. I'm spitting truth here. Should spitting truth be the only acceptable, only acceptable eulogy?
Because
I think that's worth on the poll.
It's what's funny is these obituaries for the older people who were total jerks to family and friends. Those are the ones that go viral when those are the ones that should be the norm, you'd think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't remember much of my grandparents, but I hear stories about, he was kind of a jerk and, he wasn't really warm or welcoming when we'd come over. I was too young to know that.
Yeah.
But hearing it now, I'm like, oh boy. And then you've interacted with enough people. You're like, that's probably the norm more so than elderly or whoever. Jumping up with smiles and hugs and warmth every time and really bringing the light into the room, Steve.
Yeah, but
spitting truth, the only acceptable eulogy.
Yeah, definitely. But we digress a bit.
Sorry.
The proper funeral etiquette. Show up.
Mm-hmm.
You find the spouse of the deceased. You do the hug, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry for your loss. I was thinking back, and I remember that time that Kyle and I drove to Van Wert to look at our look at our stupid faces on a billboard. Man, he was always up for an adventure.
He was.
Get a smile out of them, maybe a, and then you're out.
Yeah.
Hit the door. You don't want to be telling jokes. You just want to be there. You want them to remember, and then psh, out the door.
Go in. For the hug, you pull back, you hold on to the hand, maybe.
Oh, yeah, the hand, yeah, the
pat the top.
Yep.
You say, he was such an average man who had
very little
innumerable flaws and brought a sub-average amount to this world.
Condolences.
Sorry again. There is no afterlife. You'll never see him again. And then you're out the door.
Yeah. I mean, that's one way to do it.
We're not recommending anything. We're just giving people who are attending funerals options.
How did we get here?
Yeah, that's that is quite a digression. I know we were talking about the countertop and how we're going to carry it in here. And that turned into, I think the more I think about it, I think I'm going to put my pallbearer situation in my will when I make one.
You think?
I think so, because now that I think about it, if you're going to be middle, left, middle, right, I'm going to leave like a note of apology.
Okay. So you want like post-it notes on each position?
Well, I'm going to.
Okay. So hypothetically, not hypothetically, but when you die.
Mm-hmm.
Am I in 1 through 6?
Yeah, you're 1 through 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got your car mapped out yet?
You know, I guess I shouldn't say that because the pallbearer situation is different. It's not just friends, right?
Right, family. Yeah,
my son.
Yeah,
if we have a second.
But I mean, what if you croak when he's like
3?
Yeah.
Oh boy, it's terrifying. You know what? I still think I put him front left.
So, hey, Reed, suck it up. Carry Dad's dead body. Poor kid has no clue what's going on. It's like a car on like hydraulics.
Yeah, like a shopping cart without a wheel.
Can I heckle him? Because he's not carrying his weight?
Yeah. I, again, I'm okay with making my funeral essentially an amateur stand-up night at the local Yuck Yuck Hut. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No. Not at all.
Be unique? Would it be closer to my personality than a priest I've never met? Talking about how ashes to ashes and my dust, which isn't dust because it's my body,
sure, yeah,
are there as still dust. And, you know, I replenish the earth, which I don't because I'm in a wooden casket sealed inside another box.
Yeah,
I'm
with really like doing any with of that. Noxious chemicals in your body.
I'm not doing any of those things. So I don't really want that.
So I'm in the top six.
Well,
you figure, all right, say you die.
Yeah.
Say you are... you are dead and in a box. How old are you?
34.
34. Early 30s. Late 20s, early 30s.
I'm comfortable early 30s. Okay. 30, so, 35, 35 come March, Steve. That's still early 30s.
So you're 34. Mm-hmm. All right. So say you croak at 50, which seems reasonable. Reed will be 18.
Yeah, not out of the realm.
Reed will be 18. Say second baby. If they, you know, they arrive in the next 5 years,
be 12 or 13 at that point.
Okay. So they're driver's seat, passenger seat.
Yeah.
Where's Robert?
Back left.
Back left. Okay. That's a good, number 3 is good.
Yeah.
Who's number 4? Who's back driver or back passenger side?
Well, that's a really good question. It's a really good question.
Mm-hmm. Your buddy Chris.
I think it's Chris
from the UP.
I think Chris is back left.
If he can make it, if he can make the trip.
Right. Yeah. If he can fire up one of the jalopies and coax that thing across a bridge and downstate. Chris would be the guy to show up to my funeral in shorts.
Oh, God, yes.
And if he does, I need you there with, again, some type of walking utensil or weapon.
Yeah.
To really knock him around.
I'm going to have to be the guy, like you see in those old comedies, when people go out to a fancy restaurant, but like the one slob in this situation, Chris, forgets to wear a jacket and they have to give him like the rental jacket that has the big crest on it. I'm going to have to bring a spare pair of pants.
Yeah, no question.
For Chris.
Yeah, he's going to get down here and it's going to be like a pair of light blue denim jeans. He's going to have those tan like boots on, stained with like oil and grease and mud.
Yeah.
And the
stained with the stains of the UP.
Yeah. And the jeans are definitely going to, you're going to be seeing the back left of his underwear because the pocket's like ripped to shreds. And he's going to walk in like it's normal.
Yeah. He's going to think he's dressing up.
Yeah. He's going to be the guy walking in after the ceremony has started.
Yeah.
And the door's going to burst open, so everybody's going to look. And then he's smoothing his hair over, right? Yeah. And then he gives a little sad wave and shuffles into a back row.
Yeah.
You know? So he would be back right. Boy, I haven't thought about middle two.
Mm.
With two kids, that really tightens up the group, right?
Is that the plan? Like, you guys aren't the people who are like, hey, you know, we're going to have probably 6 or 7.
No. No, we're closer to 1 than that.
Okay.
We're closer to 1 than 2, and we're closer to 1 than 6 and 7 for sure.
Yeah.
I
mean, I wouldn't be offended at a middle seat.
Boy, I got to tell you, the way it stands right now, Steve, with two kids, you might be OLI.
OLI?
Outside looking in.
Oh.
Because, listen, here's the deal.
Okay.
One, I'm not going to be the person with a wedding party of 11.
Sure.
Ever. I had 4.
Yeah.
Okay, 4.
Yeah. At least with your first wedding.
Right. And I can't imagine I'm going to gain more friends if I were to, you know, my current wife finally ups and leaves. I can't imagine I'm going to gain a bunch of new relationships.
Right. Like she was the one holding you back from being super popular. Super popular.
I've got seven people and I need them there. They're my ride or dies. As soon as you say that, you're in your midlife crisis,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, ride or die.
Yeah, if you're in your 30s using the term besties and ride or dies, mm-hmm. reevaluate everything you're doing.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Looking at you, everybody on social media. Everybody. And I think you'd be OLI.
Okay. Who's... But it's kind of insulting because you don't even know who the middle two people would be, but no, you know that they're not me.
I have names. I have right now 2 to 3 ahead of you.
Okay.
2 to 3.
Who do you got?
It would be my friend Jason.
Okay.
My friend Nate.
Yep.
My friend Matt.
Yep.
Those would be the 2 to 3 where we'd be at before we would. But again, this is 15 years down the road. What are the odds that all of them are still alive?
Yeah. They could all be dead too.
Right?
Yeah, that's true. Long story. Talking Jason and Nate from Team Remax.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, gonna have to take them out.
And honestly, I'd rather be OLI than a middle seat.
No, not me. I want to be part of the party. Mm. I want people, because if you're OLI, you're looking at the people that are up there and you're like, man, they're in the band.
But you can't go 7. Like, I think if you go 7, you've just got one person.
No, you can't be any odd number.
Right, and they don't have, most caskets won't have a handle on the back. So you're just holding the bottom of the casket, and you're not holding any weight.
No.
And so you have to do that weird shuffle walk because your knees are about to hit the dead body in front of you.
Yeah. Look, I'm just saying, I'd rather be in a middle seat than outside looking in.
Yeah.
So if you can fit me in there, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be nice. I feel like you're... Let's see. I'll try and figure out mine. So you said you had Robert in your driver's seat, right?
No, Robert would be back left.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
The two children.
Okay. All right. So my driver's seat... Well, it can't be my daughter. She's a girl. Girls can't be pallbearers.
Of course. Girls can't, yeah.
It's not Pauline bears.
Not enough of the... You know, girls can do everything.
So I guess.
Yeah, but you're kind of a.
I'm assuming that anyone older than me is already dead, right?
I think it's a fair assumption.
Okay, so my dad's dead. My brother's dead.
Yes, let's assume. Well, no, because then my brother would not be. Included.
Well, this is my situation. This is how I look.
Good question. Good. So you're assuming you're going till 80.
I'm assuming I'm probably living to 100.
Okay.
I'm going to call it right now.
You're making triple digits.
I'm going to call it right now. See, I got a bunch of nephews. I could fill the car with just nephews. It could probably be Daniel, front left. Daniel's driving the car. Mm-hmm. I'm just going in age order.
Sure.
And it's going to be Joey in the passenger seat. And it's going to be Andrew in the back driver's seat.
Mm-hmm.
And then Felipe is going to be back passenger seat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this all, obviously, if our second child due in June
is a boy, yeah,
everyone's getting bumped down. I got 5 right there.
No, Mike.
My brother's dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you my number 6.
Hey!
You're going to be, but remember, though, you're going to be middle passenger side.
Yeah.
It's not a great spot.
You're basing your stuff on age as well. So like you're risking your casket looking like a rocket before launch. Where it's like angled upward.
Right, right.
A lot of wind resist. Like if it's a brisk day, a good chance that casket's going upright.
Yeah.
Woo!
Like you see those viral videos of the bounce house with the kids in it just flying away.
That's you. That's your corpse. But anyway,
we digress. Yeah.
Getting this new countertop in here.
How did we get from countertop to...
Again, it was talking about how we're going to carry that in here and how we compared it to a pallbearer situation.
Because, sure. By the way, I think I have an idea on how to carry it.
You do?
Yeah. with four people, carry it straight up and down. And we get a, like a toe strap almost to go underneath it, like a sling.
Sure.
And then one person on each side.
So here's a weird situation, because my first thought, I mean, I've never met the man, would be to ask your neighbor.
Yeah. Oh, he's in. He's
but
in.
Here's my concern. Mm-hmm. We can't have your neighbor listening to this podcast.
He did ask one time
that's about why I bring the
podcast.
It up.
He said, how can I listen to that podcast?
Yeah.
And I just ignored it.
Yeah. And I think that's what we have to continue doing.
He, funny situation. I was talking to him about a week and a half ago. It was right after we had posted on social media that we're expecting our second child. Now, this is neighbors right across the street.
Justin with a Y, Caitlin with an X.
Yep. Wonderful people. I mean, some of, like, a person that you'd refer to as, like, a salt of the earth person. You know, just a good person. Every time you talk to them, they're very positive, wonderful family, two beautiful girls that are just super polite and just very, very nice people. Like, you never hear them say a mean thing about anyone. They don't swear at all. And he said, hey, me and Kristen were watching the video that you posted announcing on the radio show that you're having a baby.
Which, by the way, was the third official announcement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Third in line. If everybody, it's fine.
Katie, I gave you the, look, you had the exclusive on that.
You're darn right.
On this podcast.
We're newsbreakers.
Mm-hmm. So as soon as he said that, I thought, ugh. Oh boy. Because he knows what I do, doesn't know, has never really asked much.
Yeah.
And I am totally cool with that. Never said like, what radio station? It was just like, oh, this is what I do. He's like, oh, that sounds fun.
He's of the age that it's almost a little, my assumption. Now, granted, I don't think it's egotistical of you or anybody to think this. He's in that age group where he would assume, if he's lived here, he's probably aware of your side gig, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're fortunate. We do very well in that demographic and a bunch of demographics. But again, I do not care. Luckily, there are a lot of people that listen, and it's enough for me to have a job. So I'm very grateful. So he said, yeah, we were watching the video of you making the announcement. And I thought, okay.
You should have told him that was the podcast.
And just
we got like that nice of a setup. And right.
So he said, yeah, and the girls were sitting on the couch and they were kind of half paying attention, but like playing a game on their iPad or something. And then one of my monkey coworkers exclaimed, hey, it means your balls still work. And I thought, yep, that's my job. That's what I do for a living. That's what helps me bring home the bacon. That's why I'm big. What did I call myself? Big Papa Benjamin.
Big. Yeah, I think it was Big Papa Benjamin.
Or big Benji Bacon.
That's right. It's all those balls work jokes that pay the bills. So I think so. Maybe
so the world's kind of collided there, and I immediately said, very similar to what I say to family when they say, hey, I was listening to the show. Yeah. I say to them, don't ever tell me about anything you hear.
You don't need to.
Yeah. Oh, that's great if you do, but don't ever, like when we're sitting down for Thanksgiving dinner,
don't
ever say, hey, I was listening to the show the other day, because I'm not going to answer. I'm just going to say, oh, yeah, that's nice.
I mean, because I actively tell you, and I think I'm doing you a favor, you're welcome, that I don't listen. And that I'm not interested.
Yeah.
And I think the production is poor. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Thank you.
So I think for now, maybe we bench the neighbor. If we can find two other suitable replacements to help with this thing, just because of that reasoning. We don't want it to become more of a, boy, you guys got a legitimate studio down here, and where can I find it? And then next thing you know, he's going back and listening to me making fun of him and his stupid icicle lights that half worked last year.
Well, that's when we tell them, when they say, oh, what's the name of the podcast? We say, oh, hi, my name's Jab Abenrab, and I'm the...
You ever heard of cereal? Yeah, we hired this lady, unknown, Sarah Koenig. Yeah, seems pretty good.
Or, no, not that cereal, like C-E-R-E-A-L.
Yeah, the less popular show, but we get a lot of accidental downloads. Really juices the numbers. Yeah, we just break down a different cereal every episode. Yeah. And yeah. We ran out of cereals 2 years ago. So we're into cereal bars. And now we have people send us their poverty cereals.
Yeah, like, you should have heard our episode on Nutri-Grain bars.
We now have to have people send us their local poverty cereals like King Starman in the bag. Doesn't have a box. Right. That's an like, and it shouldn't be an alarm bell, right? Because I don't care. There's a lot of those cereals that probably taste better. But you know you're getting one of those generic offshoots if you don't have a box.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. The ones in the bag?
Yeah, on the bottom bag shelf. Only. Mm-hmm. Bag only that are in like dump bins. Like someone came out with a pallet of these and just went whoosh and threw them all into their wire bins.
Yeah. Or even worse, you know how when you go to the grocery store, there's like, might be the bins where you can put a bag under them and get a bunch of almonds or something by the pound. Like if you're buying cereal by the pound.
That's right. Where are we with that? Where, like, if I want peanuts in a shell at a grocery store, again, I get the silver scooper.
Yep.
And I scoop them into one of those razor thin stupid bags that if you touch it with a fingernail, it's ripped right down the side. Where are we that with cereal? So you can go make your own, right? You've got rings. You've got like dinosaur shapes. Mm-hmm. You've got stars. And then you've got like marshmallows, right?
Yeah.
So it's like a make your own cereal packet.
Yeah.
You've got the chocolate based, the sugar based. Oh, did we just come up with a really good idea? The bulk cereal shop?
I think so. I feel like there are cereal restaurants.
I'm thinking though,
like in those trendy hip places, somewhere in Brooklyn, there's probably a, you know, cereal depot or something.
Where somebody this morning, on a Sunday morning, Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Definitely in New York City.
It is Sunday, December 5th, 2021, the year of our Lord, the Stephen Kyle podcast.
Definitely paid upwards of $20 for brunch cereal.
Just two bowls.
That's it. And it had like thinly sliced bananas on top. Right, yeah. So not even good cereal.
No, not at all.
But I think, in my mind, I'm thinking you see like those bins, where if you were to go to the grocery store to get pumpkins, and you see those big bins.
Uh-huh, yeah. That's what I'm thinking. The big boxes on a pallet.
But filled with cereal.
Mm-hmm.
That's sanitary, right?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. You just dive right in. Hey, before we wrap up, I want to take a quick trip.
Oh!
I'm gonna ditch some crap to some losers on the Facebook market. I'm posting, looking for a scumbag on the Facebook marketplace.
That's right. Yeah, I was trying to give away some crap recently.
Let me ask just one leading question before I let you get into it.
Yeah. By the way, don't look up at the Tron, because I'm going to be pulling up.
Did this have anything to do with the concrete?
No.
Okay. Nope. Because in my mind, you placed a Rush ad saying, I've got two buckets of like 50%
who needs
set
it?
Concrete. I'll mix it till you get here. Right. Then it's on you.
No, but the 5 gallon bucket that's in there that has dried concrete all in it, it's going right in the garbage can.
I think that, could that be a red paperclip?
Oh, you think?
I think.
You want to trade it?
The concrete laden 5 gallon bucket.
Which, it's still got water in it, so it's probably not completely cured.
They sell them for like a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
I think we treat this as a trade piece and see what we can get.
All right. Yeah, if you're interested in a bucket, I'll hold on to it for a couple days.
Yeah.
A bucket.
Gotta be local. We're not shipping this thing.
No. Because I'm keeping the water in it. It's basically got mud in the bottom of it. Completely cured concrete stuck to the side of it.
But listen, if you're willing to put in the work,
I'll even meet you somewhere to drop it off. Yeah. But you might have to come with me just to hold the bucket.
So it doesn't spill.
Because I have a lid, but now that there's dried concrete all around the rim of the bucket, it's not going to like snap into place.
Okay.
So if you're in the market,
I'm happy to do this
for roughly a gallon of water, a couple pounds of concrete, and what used to be a white bucket, you let us know.
The main attraction here is the bucket. So you need to find someone who's willing to put in the legwork to scrape that concrete off and have themselves a shiny new 5 gallon white bucket.
Yeah. So I've had these two things in my basement for 4 years. Mm-hmm. I've been looking to get rid of. Remember when I was going through my deep fried turkey phase?
Yeah.
Like every year for probably 5-6 years in a row, I deep fried a turkey at Thanksgiving.
So you probably had utensils, right? Whether it's... Now, did you have a fryer or did you borrow a fryer?
Yeah.
You did?
Okay. I had a fryer, which is basically a metal 5-gallon bucket.
Fryer. Right.
And it's got a burner base that you just hook up to propane. So that... I still have that. That's over in the basement.
Right. And I'm not assuming... That's not a giveaway item. That's an expensive
item. Not that much. I think it was like $30 or something. $40 maybe. So... But what I did still have was about... Somewhere between 4 and 5 gallons of fryer oil. Because after you use it, you then take the... You let the oil cool.
Yeah.
You funnel it back into the big jugs that it came in. And you're able to reuse that stuff. So the problem is I only deep fried a turkey once a year. So I used it once. Last time I deep fried a turkey was 2017. I remember I was at a coworker's house. Annette and I had been married for about 4 days. We went over there for Thanksgiving. I deep fried a turkey and it was great. Funneled all the oil back into the big drum, or the big jug. Been sitting in the basement ever since, and every time I go in that room, I'm like, I just want that gone, because I'm at this point, I'm not going to use it. It's right. Good. It would probably be good if I used it within a year, but after 4 years, not happening. Even though you heat it up to like 450 degrees, right, and it probably burns off any of the impurities, I don't want that.
The thing I'm thinking is though, that became hard to find this year, or the maybe not hard to find, but the prices went.
Did it really?
Through the roof on this oil.
Son of a bitch.
Because of, like everything else, having supply chain issues and everything. Yeah, I'm pretty sure fryer oil.
Okay.
And that's how it's referred to, right?
Yeah.
Fryer or peanut oil?
Yeah, like this one is specifically Picnic brand, P-I-K-N-I-K, Picnic turkey frying oil.
Yeah, this is from Business Insider. Less than 3 weeks ago, cooking oil prices are surging so much that thieves are stealing used oil from dumpsters and selling it for $1,500. So anyway, continue.
Someone got a hell of a deal.
The more I'm thinking about this, you may have had like 80 messages in 2 minutes.
Right. No, I had posted this maybe a month ago. It was definitely pre-Thanksgiving. I posted it for free, Facebook Marketplace. Didn't get one bite.
Really?
Not one. So I went to the lesser Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, where the real dirtbags hang out.
That really is, too. Isn't in that where Wreck came from?
That's where Wreck came from, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Nice man.
Very nice man.
That's, and I posted that's kind it. Of stunning, though, that you had to go to a backup.
Yeah, so if you look up at the Tron.
Okay.
There it is. Free old used fryer oil. Anyone have any use for about 4 or 5 gallons of old used fryer oil? Now, I said probably a few years old, knowing exactly how old it was.
You don't want to get specific if you don't have to.
Free. Maybe could be used for biodiesel. Text if you want it. I'm assuming you're not familiar with biodiesel.
No, I know you can make your own, but I don't know what a layman would use it for.
You can actually, like a diesel vehicle
with
certain adjustments and different filters and everything will run off of like old fryer oil. So there are people that have vehicles that run off of fryer oil, and then they just go around to restaurants and say like, hey, I'll take your old fryer oil. You mix in a bunch of chemicals. Yeah. There's a whole, you know, chemistry process that takes place.
Sure.
And then, boom, you have
gasoline,
super cheap diesel fuel. I was pretty proud of this giveaway, despite now knowing that I could have made a lot of money off of it.
Right. Yeah. Again, another quick snippet from this one from The Hill. Fryer oil that cost around $30 per unit a year ago now runs for $60 to $70.
That's only double.
But anyway, continue with the free giveaway.
So I finally had something that's actually worth money.
Yeah, and you chose to
give it away. How is it that I'm able to sell stuff that's worth nothing, but I can't give away something
that has some value, right? This isn't your fault, by the way. I want to still maintain this does not take this does not ruin your spot as a Facebook Marketplace savant.
Okay, good.
In my eyes,
I was worried that
yeah.
I'd possibly get knocked down a peg or
right.
two.
Nope, not in my eyes.
I'm gonna ditch some crap to some losers on the Facebook market. I'm posting, looking for a scumbag on the Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, man.
Was the person, everything on the up and up, normal, though?
Don't have any idea, because my new method is, I'll leave it in the driveway. No need to knock, exclamation mark. Which basically says, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to see you.
Right.
I don't want to know the person that is garbage picking 4-year-old
yeah.
fryer oil.
That doesn't need to be just a COVID thing, by the way. That can be a
forever
thing. We don't need communication on a giveaway or something like that.
Hey folks, viewer mail time again. Oh, here's one from Sally, age 14. Dear Pig.
I will slide this across the counter to you.
It's that third one that really brings me home. I think of two there, and it's bad.
Yeah.
But the third one, really.
Four would just be over the top.
Four is obnoxious. Two is poor editing.
Mm-hmm.
Three.
Three is the magic
the
number.
The sweet spot. Yeah. Stevie slid across an envelope. Hey, I recognize that name at
our
the
old
top.
Buddy
that
Trevor
is
in...
Trevor in Burns or Dixon. Yeah. Definitely not...
Nashville.
In Nashville. Trevor of the... Recently purchased 36-inch Ivation LED digital time bar.
In blue.
Only, in blue, which had all the way up to 3 levels of brightness of blue and off.
Yeah. Now, I've received a confirmation from Trevor. He sent me the return authorization for that one. It was in the mail the next day. And then Trevor said, new one's on the way. Which, just ridiculously generous of you.
Yeah, my goodness. I still can't believe we so screwed that up.
Yeah.
I can believe it, actually. I said that out loud and I thought...
It's the least surprising thing ever.
Why am I giving us this benefit of the doubt that you and I would be... Oh, yeah, we're clearly on the ball for everything. So this is another envelope from my friend Trevor in Burns/Dixon, definitely not Nashville, which I think you should change your Twitter handle to, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, another check. Look at this. Add it to the collection, Steve.
What do we got? How much?
That is $9.99 this month from Trevor. His bank has to hate him.
Huh. $9.99, huh? Are there two checks in there?
You're a little late this month, Trevor.
You feel like a mob guy. Your envelope's a little late.
If the Brothers Humphrey still listened, I'd sick them on him.
We kid, Trevor.
That is, again, far too kind. I don't know why you're still doing this. Because
I don't know why you're not doing a nice round number, too.
Yeah. Are we supposed to like add them all together and it's going to be like the code to some hidden treasure? Is this like the rock where at the end... You get coordinates to a microfiche film of who killed JFK. This is far too kind, though, Trevor. Thank you very much. Hey, before we do get out, I need to very quickly mention, I posted on social media, everybody who's participating in the 6th annual Steve and Kyle podcast, Cloak and Dagger, non-denominational winter solstice gift exchange, check your messages, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Check them that you should have the name of your recipient, along with just a general form message of how to go about what we're doing.
Yes.
Those should be there. You're listening to this today. It's the week of December 5th. Please just try to get them out no later than like December 18th.
Yeah.
If they can get these items before Christmas. We're a few days behind where we normally are, Steve and I. So, again, just try to get them out as soon as you can. This is a fun thing we're doing. It's not like we're going to be cracking a whip on you. But if you end up running into any circumstances, you can't afford a gift, you just don't have the time or the money or the wherewithal to do this, that's totally okay.
Yeah, just let us know.
Let us know, and we will figure out a way to get a gift to your recipient. Do not feel obligated at this point. We will take care of it. So again, check your DMs, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you messaged us initially. you will have the name of your recipient for the gift exchange.
Apologies for the audio quality of this week's episode. It may be like this forever. This is the studio we have built.
Horrifying to think about.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.